Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Happy you are along with us today. When it comes to watering, Holly, many of us fail at that particular activity, whether it's overwatering or underwatering, and most of the time we swing and we miss, and the plants suffer because of our uneducated awareness, I guess, of what we should have been doing properly. But there is a device that will take the guesswork out of it for all of us.
Right. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water, and it slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they are by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA. You can check out all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
Well, when it comes to bee-friendly gardening, we may or may not be aware of the impact that our garden have on the local population of pollinators. If you're looking for good pollinating plants, you can go to Finding Nectar. It's just outside of Denver. You can go to 15550 Highway 72 in Arvada and check them out. You can also find them on findingnectar.com. We welcome them to the program. If you're looking for good pollinator plants in Colorado, that's the place to go. People think, Holly, pollinators are just bees, but that is just a very, very small tip of the iceberg of what pollinators are actually doing or can do in your garden if you have the proper system set up with flowers and vegetables.
Absolutely. So there's many bugs, insects, whatever you want to call them, that pollinate, and that just doesn't include bees. It also includes butterflies, moths, some beetles, and bats.
Yes.
So you can, if you want to even go as far as get something like a bat house, you can do that, and that will help the pollination. What's the word I'm looking for? Help the pollination.
Yeah, pollination.
And I know a lot of people think that, okay, well, I don't want bats around my house. But the bats, they sleep during the day. They come out late at night. They're more afraid of you than you are of them. So you don't have to worry too much about bats. The fruit bats, the pollinator bats, are not, they're not going to try to attack
you. No, it's not Dracula.
No, we're not having some Halloween times
Grandpa
here.
From the Addams Family here, right. Trying right. to suck your blood.
Right. So, you want to plant a wide variety of plants, and you want to plant native plants. So this is something that you can go to your local garden center. You can just do some research online. But native plants are the plants that are vital to the local pollinators because they provide those plants for pollination.
Now, how do one know what native plants are native? Well, you can get a hold of your local university extension office. Most counties have an office that can provide you either written or a website in which will provide, you know, these are the native plants and here's what we'd recommend you planting in addition to your peppers, your eggplants, you know, your vegetables. We're talking about grasses or flowers, that type of thing. Certain trees that do flower and help the pollination population.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you want to find out, you know, that kind of information. Now, you want to avoid more of the modern hybrid flowers because a lot of times in this process with the hybridization of flowers, the pollination is not as strong or the need for pollination. So if you can get the natural non-hybrid flowers, that is ideal.
The oldie but the goodie is basically what you're saying.
Right. And then you want to eliminate pesticides. There are so many reasons why you want to eliminate pesticides, but pollinators is definitely one of them.
Now, I will put a disclaimer out there for that. I understand, and I know there's a lot of people in rural areas in farm country that listen to our program, and pesticides is a way of life in big ag industry. We're just talking about the specifics in your own backyard, what you have control over.
Again, we speak to the backyard garden.
Yes.
Yes. And if you do want to spray pesticides, you want to do this when at nighttime when bees and other pollinators are not active. So be mindful of maybe if you are going to use these things as to when versus what type of thing?
Well, let's just address the round product that you use that has the glyphosate. It does exactly what it's intended to be used for. It kills the plant exactly how it's designed for, and there is a proper way to apply it on your property. Speak about that.
Right. So you, yeah.
Temperature wise, there.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So you don't want to apply it if it's above 70 degrees, and especially when there's humidity, because when it's above 70 degrees and it's humid, a lot of that glyphosate just hangs in the air, and then it can drift. It can cause chemical drift. Even just in your backyard, it can drift over to your neighbor's yard, et cetera. So you want to make sure you're applying it at the proper time of year, which is when it's below 70 degrees.
Right. And I've told the story before on the farm, spraying companies, that they can't wait for that. The corn or the soybeans are planted. They come in and spray as long as the wind is below a certain mile per hour and it's 90 or 100 degrees or whatever, and you smell that for quite some time as it drifts across the landscape. And that's just the way it is.
Right. So another thing you can do is if you want to have colorful butterflies, you need to grow plants for the caterpillars. And this is something where you would do something where you're going to grow plants for caterpillars that you don't care if the leaves look unsightly. So I guess you would want to, if you want to be on the cover of a gardening magazine, maybe you have a separate garden for this. But if you're like us and we like to live in harmony with nature, we don't necessarily care if the caterpillars eat some leaves, and that's going to provide a home for the caterpillars to eventually turn into butterflies. That's fine. Or maybe you can grow extra plants.
Dill is a known plant that the monarch or, well, caterpillars will crawl on and turn into. Milkweed is another one in which you can grow. There's different types of milkweed based on your geographical area, and that is the only plant that monarchs will lay their larva on, and the larvae feeds off of the milkweed. So that is a very beneficial plant to have. And in some degree, it will spread by itself. We've had that, you know, some years in the garden, we've had a lot, and some years we've had none. So it's very interesting how that particular plant controls itself. But butterflies, you know, even pollinators being hummingbirds. Hummingbirds pollinate as well, and you can incorporate hummingbird feeders into your landscape as well.
Right. And then this is a new one that I learned about, is that you want to use what's called a salt lick for butterflies and bees. So butterflies,
not a cow lick like you do in the pasture.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
All right.
So what you would do is you would take like a dripping hose or drip irrigation, and then you put or in your bird bath, and you place this on bare soil to create what's like a damp area, or like a, we did this with like a bee bath where, mm-hmm, we put the rocks. Was it rocks?
Yes, it was rocks.
Yeah. And then
smooth
rocks. And then you put like just some water in a small dish or a smaller dish. And then apparently these, I didn't know this part, but these insects like salt. So you would take, typically you want to use like a sea salt because it's a little bit, I guess, better, more or less. But you can use table salt. You don't have to go buy any sort of special salt. You could use wood ash too. Maybe you don't want to leave salty water around. You can use wood ash water. But this gives them a place to come and drink, and they like that saltiness.
And you can use dead limbs to help bring in pollinators to your garden.
Right. So this, a lot of native bees will find homes in the dead limbs, but you want to keep in mind to be safe. So if you have a dead limb, you know, make sure it's not going to come crashing down on somebody's head.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is safe, then they will, the bees will go and live in it. And they even sell like little bee condo type things that you can.
Bee houses. I guess is what I call them. I know so that's not the industry name.
I mean, I've seen them even at big box stores.
And you can make your own.
Right.
Yeah.
You can drill into some wood and make the little
for the would-bees.
Would bees. But yeah, that's another thing is that you can do.
So watch what you spray and incorporate, even if just a small area, of items, flowers that you know will increase the population of the pollinators, whether those are bees, wasps, hummingbirds, bats, whatever that might be, because every little bit helps. And just be aware of what you're doing with your little chunk of the environment and your chunk of earth, I guess, and the environment in your backyard or front yard or community garden. And just be aware. That's all we say. Just know what you're doing and know what the impact of what your actions can cause, even just a little bit, can cause a lot of benefit or negativity. You got something else to add there? Or are you good? Okay. Well, that said, now the weather is starting to warm up, Holly, and you will want to protect your garden from those various beetles, weevils, and borers. Yes, yes, that includes those Japanese beetles that we have talked about, and now they are probably here.
And what better way to prevent these from destroying your garden than by controlling them? Well, they are larvae. Grub Gone is an easy-to-apply granular product that can be spread on your turf to successfully control grub invaders. It's developed by Phylum Bioproducts from a naturally occurring bacteria. Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT product that specifically targets only certain scarab pests, and it's safe to use around bees and other beneficial insects.
That's the great thing about Phylum Bioproducts is they have made a product that is safe around the beneficial bees, as we just talked about, but they target the Japanese beetles and the larva. If you've already got those Japanese beetles flying around your yard, well, Beetle Gone is an organic water dispersible powder that can be sprayed directly onto your edible plants. Find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's Phylum bioproducts.com. And Holly, what is that coupon code in which we can all save a little bit of cash when we purchase from Phylum?
You can use code GARDENTALK10 to save 10% off your orders at phylumbioproducts.com.
That's right.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.